The following lecture by Rabbi Yitzhak Ginsburg was recorded live and is presented to you on the Inner Dimension website by Gal Einai Institute.
This week's Torah reading on a transfer Eva, we find the beginning of the ten plagues. Of the ten plagues that God smote the Egyptians in order to redeem the Jewish people from Egypt, the first seven are told of and described in this week's Torah reading. And then the final three are recorded in next week's Torah reading, Parashat Po. Of the seven, we're going to meditate this evening about the first. That the first is not just the first of these seven that are recorded in this week's Torah reading, but it's the first of all the ten, obviously. And according to the a very great principle that we're taught by the sages, everything depends upon the beginning and everything is included in the beginning, meaning that all of the ten plagues in a certain way are included in the very first of the ten plagues, even though the climax of the ten plagues is the last, the smiting of the firstborn of the Egyptians, and that is the one that actually finally makes the impression and convinces Pharaoh, Melech Mitzrayim, the king of Egypt, Pharaoh, to redeem and release the Jewish people. But nonetheless, there's something special and unique about the first that is all-inclusive of all the ten plagues. The sages teach us that the first is actually smiting the idolatry of Egypt, because the Egyptians worshipped their source of life and livelihood, which is the river. And the first plague is to take the waters to the river, which are also inclusive of all of the waters in Egypt, no matter where the waters happen to be, and to convert and transform the water into blood. That is the first plague. So in general, the plague is called the plague of blood. It's taking water and transforming water into blood. But as we'll see, when we study a little bit about this plague, there's something that has to do with the water itself. It's not just that it's smiting the water. It's as though we might imagine that in the water there is some dynamic force, some demon in the water that is actually being slaughtered, being killed, and the blood is the blood of himself being killed. That would also relate the first plague to the final plague. The final plague is smiting and killing the firstborn. It's also a symbol of blood, even though blood doesn't appear there. But it's any killing is bloody. So in other places, we find in the sages themselves different stories of some dynamic force being present in the water. And when that force is killed, is slaughtered, so there's a drop, at least a drop of blood appears, even though the force is a spiritual force, it's not a physical force. But nonetheless, the result of killing that bad demon in the water is manifest as blood. But this is not sufficient to say that this is the whole of this plague. It's as though since the water is being worshipped by the Egyptians, so that makes the whole water evil. And now we're actually killing the water, and that's what makes the water transform into blood. So that's not sufficient for us to explain this phenomenon of the first plague. We'll make another important observation. In a certain way, there's something deep and miraculous about this first plague that doesn't even appear in the plagues to come. Because here is taking something apart of nature, which is water, and actually transforming it into a different physical compound altogether. It's not just transforming silver into gold or tin into silver, which is alchemy, this is taking something which is inorganic matter, a very simple inorganic compound, which is H2O, water, and transforming it into blood. That blood doesn't mean here just making it red. It's not just reddening the water, but it's actually blood. Blood is physical blood. Blood is organic. In addition to H2O, blood definitely has its H2O. It's an organic compound. First of all, it's very complex. It's not simplistic as is H2O. But the important thing about any organic compound is that it has carbon. Now, carbon is in Kabbalah called fire, meaning that there's fire in this water. It also has, to a certain extent, nitrogen, but the thing that actually makes it, or is necessary component of any organic compound in the world, is carbon, which once more is fire. Because H2O, hydrogen, oxygen, is two parts of water. According to Kabbalah, the hydrogen itself is water. The oxygen is air inside the water. That water, physical water, is a kind of, it's not a simple element. According to Kabbalah, it's two parts water and one part air. But in order to make it organic, blood, so as was gone to meditate, blood is a symbol or a substance that represents might, and might is a property of fire, not of water. Water always symbolizes loving kindness, whereas fire and blood is also hot like fire, symbolizes the opposite characteristic in Kabbalah, which is gevura, might. So once more, there is something that is happening here in this first plague, which in a certain sense is more physically or chemically, we'll call it, miraculous than even in other plagues. I mean, if there's a plague that all of a sudden there are frogs that appear, or lice appear, or animals, a whole mixture of wild animals come. I mean, these are things which are, obviously each one is a miracle by itself, but it's not something that defies or is paradoxical in essence, in nature, but to take something and to actually transform it into a different compound and to add new elements altogether in order to make this new compound, this is something that is, in a certain sense, more miraculous even than all of the plagues to follow. Right, so as we just mentioned, in general, in Kabbalah, water is a manifestation of love in the soul, or loving kindness, whereas blood is a manifestation of might. So this plague is obviously, it's a plague. The Egyptians didn't have water to drink for a whole week. Every plague took a week, it says. So it was obviously very, very bad for the Egyptians. But if we just think of this plague on a theoretical plane, that water is being transformed into blood, so it doesn't necessarily say something bad and negative. Just the opposite. If we try to abstract this first plague and to learn what we can learn, and especially if we use this image, as the image that we're trying to now develop this evening is water becoming blood. So that image of water becoming blood is not necessarily a bad image whatsoever. In fact, it can have some very, very positive ramifications to it, implications to it, what it means that water becomes blood. So in general, we'll say an observation or a klal, a principle that will relate to all of the plagues. We're taught that the redemption to come when the Messiah, Mashiach, comes speedily in our days will resemble the exodus from Egypt. But on the other hand, it will be even more wondrous than the, infinitely more wondrous than the wonders of Egypt. So we might expect that what that means is that the plagues, to the evil, or there still is evil, unfortunately, in the world. It has to be overcome and has to be conquered. So we might think that once more there are going to be all these plagues, that that God is going to miraculously make all kinds of natural disasters happen, hurricanes and the tornadoes and the earthquakes and all kinds of other things that will do away, will smite the evil. But as we're taught in Chassidut, this is not what we are intended to imagine or to portray in our minds and hearts, what is supposed to, what we're waiting to happen now in the future. If the meaning of the plagues is to kill evil, so first of all we have to try to apply it to our own selves, because every person in himself has an evil inclination, has his own evil, and maybe if we would be able to work these 10 plagues against our own evil inclination, that itself would be definitely sufficient to bring the Messiah. But now we can explain even a deeper dimension of understanding, that the 10 plagues of the future, all of these things that are happening, if we understand deeply, abstract it deeply, these can not just even be smiting our own evil, but it can even be all of them positive self-transformation. That's the ultimate sweetening or understanding of what these plagues can mean for us now in our days. So the first self-transformation is the ability in the soul to take water and to totally miraculously transform the water into blood. The first image that we'll try to imagine is a waterfall. That a waterfall, because of the might of its, of the gravity of the water, so what happens is that energy is produced. Also, if there's a dam that doesn't allow for the water to freely flow, also the might of the water is transformed into energy. One of the meanings of blood is that blood is vital energy, vital life force. So there can't be anything more positive than taking water and transforming water into blood, into vital life force. In addition to water representing kindness and blood representing forcefulness, water throughout the Torah represents the insight of the mind, the direct perception of the mind. That's why water is always a symbol for the Torah itself, that there is no water, that is the expression, the idiom of the sages, there is no water, just the Torah. Torah is water. Whereas blood in the Torah is not a symbol for the Torah, but as it's used in the Torah, it symbolizes very often the service of praying to God, of prayer, tefillah. Chazal say that a person should not eat in the morning until he prays for his blood. And the praying itself is an expression of blood, because prayer has to come with tremendous arousal and energy. Forcefulness is called from below. Life force. It's the service of the heart. The heart is the seat, the center of the circulation of the blood. So if we'll understand it in this way, that water represents Torah, learning Torah, a Jew devoting himself and gaining always new insights. Every new insight is like a new drop of water appearing from a fountain, from a subterranean fountain. And every new flash of insight is compared to a drop of water that comes out of the fountain. To take that water, so the water is very positive by itself in its own right, to take that water and to transform it into blood, that blood is the service of praying hard to God, especially when things are hard for you. When a person is in a state of hardship, or when the people, the Jewish people, are in a state of hardship, then we have to become blood, like turn into blood, pray for our blood. That's with the power, would correspond to a teaching, a very important teaching in the Hasidut, that when a person learns Torah, he should always have in mind that the Torah itself should become prayer. That every part of Torah that you learn, the Torah should become, you should be able to transform the Torah into tefillah, into prayer. So this would now be a important way to understand what it means in the soul, in a positive, in a totally positive fashion, taking water and making it become blood. One more, we'll give one more example in Kabbalah of what it means in a positive way, a very positive way. This is in more an ethical context of what it means in water and making the water become blood. The Torah teaches us that there are seven fluids or liquids that appear and are important in the halakha. But there's a concept of seven fluids. The seven fluids correspond to the seven emotions of the heart, which I'll just now enumerate them in short. They are first loving kindness, and then might, and then third is mercy, fourth is victory, which means self-confidence, the fifth is called thanksgiving, which also has to do with walking simply and sincerely with God. The sixth is called foundation, which has to do with devotion and faithfulness. And finally, the last is humility, which is called kingdom. Kingdom, holy kingdom, is humility. How do these seven attributes of the heart, the seven emotions of the heart, correspond to the seven fluids? That is also a very important image to try to develop in one's mind, the eye of one's mind and the eye of one's heart. Water, as we said before, is chesed. Chesed is the first loving kindness. The second, I would think maybe it's blood. That blood would be gvura. But now we're explained in Kabbalah that the second is related to blood, but it's not blood itself. Blood is the branch of the second. But the second itself is wine. Wine is very often called in the Torah itself blood. But physically, clearly, wine and blood are two different fluids. It doesn't say that as Moses turned the water into wine, had he turned it into wine, so the Egyptians would probably have been pretty happy about it. They would still have had something to drink. Nonetheless, the first fluid is water, and the second fluid is wine. The third fluid is dew. There's also something very important to understand that dew, I would think maybe that chemically is the same thing as water, but it has a different crystal making to it. And dew is considered the dew in the morning that appears and then disappears. Tal, dew, is the third liquid, and it's the liquid that corresponds to mercy in the soul. And then comes milk. Milk is self-confidence, victory. Then comes blood. Now milk is the branch. The fourth is the branch of the first. Because how are the seven ordered? They're ordered right, left, middle. And then once again, right, left, middle, underneath. And then finally, the seventh is also in the middle, at the bottom. So the first is to the right. That's water. Then to the left, what corresponds to the water is the wine. Underneath the two, but in the middle, neither right nor left, is the dew. And then comes milk directly under the water. But then directly under the wine, which is also to the left, is blood. Blood is the fifth. And it corresponds to thanksgiving. That whole means thanksgiving in the soul. The sixth is oil, pure olive oil, shemen. The seventh is honey, bee honey in this context. Sometimes honey is date honey, but in this context of the seven fluids of the Torah, it's a bee honey, what we normally call honey. So honey is the last. And above honey, is on the middle line, is the shemen, which is the oil, the olive oil. But the blood that we're now speaking about, meditating on, is to the left, under the wine. So, according to this understanding, this imagery that we've now developed, so what does it mean taking water and making it turn into blood? So, what it means is much more. This we said is an ethical. We'll call it a musar in Hebrew, an ethical understanding interpretation. Is that making water become blood is always being conscious of the need and acting in accordance to thank one's donor, especially if the donor is the donor of blood. But the giving, the gift, whoever gives you, or if I give someone something, my gift is water, because my gift represents loving kindness. The response to that gift is thanks. Now, even the very first letter of the word dam, blood, is a dalit, is the fourth letter of the alphabet. And we're taught that it represents the way it's spelled out actually with three letters, the full name of the Dalit, Dalit, Lamed, and Tav, and it's short for a phrase that is no to say thank you. Da lomar toda in Hebrew. Meaning that the beginning of blood in this interpretation is knowing always. Knowing means being conscious and aware and willing and ready always to express thanks for every gift that one receives. And actually every breath that we breathe from morning to the next morning in all of our lives is a gratis gift of Hashem. It's water. Once more, a gift is always water. And responding properly to that gift, to that loving kindness by saying thank you with all of its sincerity, as we said, that particular attribute of the heart also means sincerity. The thank you has to be 100% sincere. So this is another interpretation of what it means, water becoming blood. And the blood then becomes one's vital life force. Alright, so after these images, we'll now conclude with examining one of the verses, actually the first verse in the Torah's account of the actualization of this plague, that God says to Moses that he should say to Aaron, his brother, that through the means of Aaron and his staff did this plague happen. And he says, take your staff, and I'm going to read it in the text. I'm reading now from Exodus chapter 7, verse 19. And it reads that God said to Moses, say to Aaron, take your staff and extend your hand over the waters of Egypt, over the tributaries, over the lakes, and over the gatherings of water, the pools of water, and it shall all become blood. And it was blood in all of the land of Egypt, and in the wood and in the stones. The wood and the stones means vessels. Even the water that was in some wooden vessel and some stone vessel also, all of the water in Egypt turned into blood, no matter where it was. So this verse has a phenomenon about it that is so unique and so special that there's nothing that even approaches its the beauty of this verse and the respect that we're going to now explain any other verse, no other verse like it in the Torah. This is a relatively long, 122 letters to it. 33 words, 122 letters for the Torah. This is a long, long verse. But there's a phenomenon about this particular verse that just reading it in the Hebrew, and I read it in simultaneously translated into English, but Hebrew, when you read this verse, your mouth, in reading this verse, becomes full of water, not of blood. How does your mouth become full of water? Because water is actually a one letter in the Hebrew alphabet. It's the mem, the letter mem. And mem means water. And actually the word, we know that every, as we mentioned before, with regard to the Dalit, every letter has a name. That itself is a compound of several letters. But in the case of the mem, unlike any other letter, the mem is simply two mems, one after the other. It's pure water. There are 22 mems. There's no other verse that even roughly approaches this amount of mems. There are 22 mems in this verse. Meaning that since the verse has 122 letters to it, there are an additional 100 letters, 10 squared letters. Because the way that this verse divides is that you have 10 squared letters accepting the mem, and 22 mems. If you look for anything even close to it, you won't find it in the whole, not in the, just in the whole five books of Moses, but even in the whole Bible itself. Nothing even close to this. The fact that there are 22 mems seems to indicate that there's a relationship here between the letter mem in this context and all of the letters of the alphabet, because we know that there are 22 letters in the alphabet altogether, from Aleph to Taf, from the first letter Aleph to the last letter Taf. There are 22 letters. Here each letter is symbolized or represented by a mem, by a simple mem. And then in addition to these 22 mems, there are another 100 letters. 100, as we said before, is 10 squared. It's a very perfect number. Any square number is perfect, especially 10 in Kabbalah. It's 10 squared, 100. Together, it's 122. 122 is one more than 11 squared. As we said before, every mem is essentially a double letter. It's a double mem. Every mem has two mems to it. If we'll consider each mem in this verse as a double mem, 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 so then there are 144 letters, which is already exactly 12 squared letters. What is dam? Dam is blood. Blood equals 44, meaning there's 2 times 22. And each letter is doubled. But each letter is a mem, meaning the dam itself alludes to the fact that the mems here are doubled. And by doubling the mems, and by the mems being all-inclusive, there are 22 of them, we receive dam. And there's something deep in this verse that's telling us the secret of how water is being here transformed into blood. There's something common about all of the plagues, but especially here in the first plague, that all the plagues have to do with a physical or a miraculous, supernatural physical phenomenon that is, in English, I'll use the word concentration. That something is taken, some part of nature is taken, and it's highly concentrated. And because of its very high, super high concentration, which is, we know that super high concentration also produces heat, and heat is what serves to transform one reality into another reality. So things change. Now, this is the secret of this first all-inclusive plague, that is taking water and concentrating water to the extent that the water becomes blood. It's as though blood here is water concentrated. Once more, in almost all of the plagues, we see this common denominator that they have to do with very high concentration. Like, for instance, we'll take the plague of Shechin. Shechin is boils. That Moses was commanded to take dust of the earth in his hand and to press it together so strongly that so much dust that it's impossible physically for so much dust to be held together simultaneously in his hand. And then when releasing this hand, opening the hand and throwing the dust into the heavens, the dust then spreads over all of Egypt, and it, when it descends, it turns into boils on all of the Egyptians. But this is a very, very clear example of the enacting of the plague depending upon the power of super concentration. And super concentration then results in some explosive way, like in the case of that dust, it's almost like an explosion, even though you don't hear an explosion, but that's what happens. In our case of the blood, the water and the blood, so once more what's happening is water is being taken and being very, very strongly concentrated. And that's what makes water turn into blood. So even so, we still can't, I'm sure that we're not going to be able to do this in our laboratory, but this is something that we should try to meditate upon. That water is being changed here into blood through the power of concentration. Now that is reflected in this verse itself. In this phenomena of this verse, that you have these 22 mems, that mems is just water, means that there's a lot of water here. There's so much water in this verse that there's nothing that approaches nothing like it in the whole Bible. There's a tremendous concentration of water. And there's so much water that it's even each one in itself is doubled. That's the secret of the secret of the word dam itself, or blood itself. And by all of this water being concentrated here, that's what becomes blood. So what again it means in the end, it can mean in each interpretation, the way that we understood this transformation process, it either means that in order for Torah, as we said before, that you have to take Torah study and make it become prayer, tefillah. Your Torah study also has to be very highly concentrated. The more concentrated is the Torah study, the more readily it will become turned into vital life force in praying to Hashem from the depth of your heart and with all of the blood of your heart, all of your vitality. And the same thing is true about giving and receiving and giving thanks to your donor. That the more concentrated is the gift, the more it arouses the thanks and transforms into the what's called the returning or reflected light. That reflected light, which are the thanks, is more potent, it says, more powerful even than the straight light. The straight light is the gift itself, the water. Because the water now, through great concentration, has become blood. So this is our meditation for this evening, that the first plague, which is the all-inclusive plague, when Mashiach comes, it's all positive. And it's the ability to take water and make it become blood.
You have been listening to a lecture by Rabbi Yitzchak Ginsburg, recorded and presented by Galinai Institute. In Hebrew, Galinai means, open my eyes. These words are from the verse in Psalms, open my eyes, that I may behold the wonders of your Torah. Under the leadership of Rabbi Yitzchak Ginsburg, our goal is to open the world's eyes to the light of the inner dimension of Torah, to discover God, and to connect to Him in all that we do. As we learn from the Baal Shem Tov, spreading this light will hasten the complete and true redemption. We invite you to join the Galinai team and participate with Rabbi Yitzchak Ginsburg in learning, teaching, and spreading the inner dimension of Torah, Kabbalah and Hasidut. Together, the Galinai team will change the world bringing God's loving kindness, health, happiness, and true peace to all. For more information about Rabbi Yitzchak Ginsburg's teachings and how to participate with the Gaia Night team, visit the Inner Dimension website at www.inner.org. www.inner.org. Or email us at inner@inner.org.